Welcome back to Karen About Your Health on healthbeatradio.com. I'm Karen Hummel, your host, and I'm here with Rick Alderman. And we're talking about chronic pain, and he's had some really great tips and advice, so I wanted to continue speaking with him today. Rick, we had talked earlier, too, a little bit about tennis elbow. What causes that, and how do we alleviate that pain?
Tennis elbow, it turns out I discovered this treatment technique for tennis elbow while working with a golfer who had such bad tennis elbow that he could barely lift his hand to his mouth. And so what a surgeon did is, and most people attribute tennis elbow to a certain muscle called extensor carpi radialis. And so what the surgeon did is he just merely cut that muscle and severed it to say, okay, well, we're going to cut that muscle since it's causing you so much problem, and then you won't have any tennis elbow. Well, guess what? It didn't change a thing in terms of his tennis elbow. So it led me to believe that tennis elbow isn't actually caused by the muscles that most people are targeting. And so he had a big golf tournament coming up. And so I looked at his shoulder blades to see how they're positioned on his body, like we were talking about with neck pain. And I noticed that while moving his shoulder blades, his club head angle changed. And so I took a look at that, and I realized that his forearms were tight. Well, so I measured the forearm rotation. And I found out that his forearms could hardly even rotate at all. Now, there are three muscles involved with forearm rotation. Two are called pronator teres and pronator quadratus, and then another one is called the supinator. And so when these muscles get tight, the forearm cannot rotate. You can't rotate your hand down up. So what this does is it causes the other muscles, the extensor radialis muscles, and the muscles on top of your forearm and the bottom of your forearm, to work harder, and they become overstressed. So what I did with him is I stretched out those forearm rotator muscles, and after our first treatment, he was completely pain-free. After being in months of tennis elbow pain and having surgery for this, he was completely pain-free after our very first treatment. And so since then, I've been doing it for other people and it kind of streamlining the approach. And basically, you know, it comes down to two things, why we have tennis elbow. Basically, if the shoulder blade isn't working well and isn't fitting or moving well in the body, then the arm bone attached to the shoulder blade doesn't move well either. If the arm bone doesn't attach or doesn't move well, then the forearm isn't going to move well. And when the forearm doesn't move well, then we develop tennis elbow. So it's kind of like that song, you know, the hip bone is connected to the thigh bone. And that's the same way it works in all over the body. But in the case of tennis elbow, what it does is it creates tight forearm rotator muscles. And then you just merely stretch those muscles, and the tennis elbow disappears.
That's pretty amazing. I bet most people don't know that or have never. I've never heard that. I've never had that issue yet, so I've never researched it. But I've never heard that before.
I have been researching tennis elbow for a long time before writing my shoulder and elbow pain book, and I saw no one, absolutely no one, addressing the deep forearm rotator muscles as a source of the tennis elbow issue. And I'm telling you, Karen, it has just really been a miracle cure for tennis elbow. And some people need more shoulder blade work than others. So some people can get away with just stretching the forearm muscles. But some people really need to address their scapular positioning muscles because those are really messed up with them that are feeding this issue in the first place. So it just depends on the person, but that's basically the system.
You know, it makes me think because, you know, you're talking about the shoulders are so important from the last couple of things we've talked about. It sounds as though if the shoulders go, your elbows can go, your neck can go, and then once your neck has issues, that can go into your spinal cord.
Yes, I mean, you're exactly right.
So the shoulders really have a lot of control on the body, is that right?
In terms of the upper body, they are the pivoting factor of neck and arm health. So if the shoulder system is not working correctly, then it can manifest as neck pain, headaches, thoracic outlet syndrome, tennis elbow, carpal tunnel syndrome, anything that has to do with the upper body usually is centered around the functioning of the shoulder blade and how it's working and moving at rest as well as moving. And I talk about that. I have two books that address this. One is about neck pain and headaches, and then the second one is about shoulder and elbow pain. So one I go up from the shoulders, and the other I go down from the shoulders. So, you're absolutely right. If you don't fix the shoulder system that's dragging on the neck, well, you know, you just cannot fix your chronic pain.
That's pretty amazing. How do we get your books? Where would someone go to order your books? They sound really like you have a lot of great advice for people.
Well, they can be found on Amazon.com. And the title on all of them is Fixing You. So there's Fixing You Back Pain, there's Fixing You Neck Pain and Headaches, Fixing You Shoulder and Elbow Pain, and Fixing You Back Pain During Pregnancy. And my next book, Hip and Knee Pain, will be out in a couple months. You can also go to my other website, www.fixingyou.net. And that's where I have more information about the books if you want to take a look at some things before you purchase the book. And you can purchase it from that website, which links directly into Amazon anyway. So either way.
Great. You know, we have time probably for one more question. What about diet and stress? I talk about both of those a lot on the show.
Yeah, well, I have a theory, and of course, you know, I can't prove it, but I believe that chronic pain in the body often results from we have a threshold above which we experience this chronic pain. And I believe there are at least three pillars to this threshold. One is musculoskeletal issues, which I, you know, am focused on. Another is dietary, and another is psychological. And so if we have stresses on all three of these pillars and probably others, then that pushes us above our threshold for chronic pain. And so if you address the dietary aspect of that, then that can lower you back closer to your threshold and maybe even below it. If you deal with the psychological issues that are pushing you above that threshold, then that could also lower you below the threshold, and as well as the musculoskeletal issues. And that's why there are so many books out there, I think, that say, you know, when I did this diet, my back pain disappeared, or when I went to this psychologist, you know, or read this book, that my back pain disappeared. I didn't have to do anything physical. And, you know, everyone, I think, is skewed in slightly different ways as to which pillar is strongest in them. And so I help people by fixing the musculoskeletal aspect of that. That doesn't mean that there aren't psychological or dietary issues that are contributing to it, but it just so happens that that usually gets them below that threshold, and then they're happy.
That's great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. We're running low on time, so I'll have to cut out for the day, but you have some great advice, and I highly suggest if you're living with pain that you go to the websites Rick mentioned and order his book. He has a lot of great advice. We're going to leave for the day. This is Karen About Your Health on healthbeatradio.com. Bye-bye.